people there.
That's the only thing that was mentioned about her husband, but it's there as a principle that the husband is the covering. And I woke up early this morning. I was praying and reading the Word, and then I went and brought Tina a cup of coffee, woke her up, and I just spoke of her. Tina, I cover you. I'm your covering. And men, we need to do that. We need to be a covering to our wives. And those that are mature in the faith, we need to cover our sisters. We've got a lot of sisters here that don't have a spiritual covering outside of this church. We need to be their covering because God's called them to ministry too. And in a moment, I'm going to call on my bride to speak, just as God has called the bride of Christ to speak on His behalf. The bride of Christ speaks. Join with me. Let's pray for Tina as she brings the word. Father, we submit to You. We're all under the covering of Jesus Christ. You are our covering. As Tina comes now, she's just Your spokesperson. Use her to speak Your words, even as Jason prayed earlier. I'm in agreement with that. We all agree with that. We want to hear what You are saying. Let Your Holy Spirit speak. Give us ears to hear. Give us obedient hearts. I pray, O God, whenever You speak, that we will be quick to obey. That we won't procrastinate and just in our own time get around to it, finish up what we're doing, but we'll be quick to obey what You say. Give Tina Your confidence. Give her courage, because You've put a message on her heart. Bless her now as she comes. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I am so blessed to have a husband who is not just a man in my home, but he is a covering to me. I just can't even begin to tell you the difference it makes in a home, and I thank God for him. He was up early praying for me, and you're going to benefit from that. The Spirit of God is going to speak to you because he was praying for you this morning, and I know the elders here and the pastors have been praying for you, and so I'm excited because, you know, anytime the Lord seems to do a work in my heart, and it's not always pleasant, He usually will give me a platform to share it. And so this was one of those times. And last few months have been pretty difficult. Many of you have been praying for my daughter. She's up in Minnesota right now with her husband and her two-year-old, and she is pregnant with twins. And I've made a trip up there, an emergency trip. We've been watching it carefully. She's on complete bed rest, and we've had lots of complications with her pregnancy, but not only in her life, but in many, many people that I love very much. There has been very difficult days, medically, relationally, financially. Just, it's been a tough few months, and there's been a lot of warfare, a lot of warfare. And although I stood the battle, you know, sometimes you sit in the battle, sometimes you just go to bed and you don't even want to look at the battle. I feel like I've really stood in the battle. I began to notice a few weeks ago that my responses to little things were just not very pleasant. Wasn't really to people I knew, although my husband might disagree with that, but it seemed to be with people I didn't know, people who, you know, I'm just passing through. And one day it sort of culminated. I went to a local shop, and the individual there didn't necessarily understand what I needed, and I was kind of short with them. And then I went to Walmart, and the poor cashier kind of got an unpleasant response. And then I went to Starbucks, and they got an unpleasant. I just thought, I need a cup of coffee. I just didn't. Anyway, but my attitude really was not very pleasant. I was kind of edgy, kind of kind of inconsiderate. And I found myself responding with irritation, and it really was uncalled for. So I was in the car, and I was so convicted, and I began to pray and ask the Lord to forgive me because it was unacceptable to my God. It was unacceptable. And after I repented, I asked the Lord to begin to show me what was going on. Why was this happening? And he spoke to me that I had lost my peace. I'd lost my peace. And he said, it's a very dangerous thing when you're in the midst of a battle to lose your peace. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because I saw some things in that I never really had seen before. And peace is a necessary element of warfare. And I so appreciate, I've been a part of this fellowship for about 15 years, and Brother Randy never ceases to amaze me. He is always in tune with what the Lord is saying. And the fact that he sang that song this morning about warriors arise, it was so, I mean, I could have gotten up here and just started doing cartwheels, because it was so encouraging to me, because that is the word of the Lord. Warriors, it's time. It's time. And so we are needing to understand that this peace is a necessary element in warfare, and I hope you to see that today too. But we're witnessing deep groanings in the earth. Deep groanings. It's that labor sometimes you hear the word talk about. It's a deep groaning, not only in the earth, but in the lives of believers. There's a spiritual groaning that's taking place, and it's very intense. The warfare is increasing, and we must learn to fight a good fight. We must learn how to do that. It is not your circumstances that you're fighting against. You need to understand this fight is spiritual. And we have to learn to see things with our spiritual eyes and stop looking at things in the natural. Jeremiah 12:5 says, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? You see, we trust in a land. We've trusted in this nation to some extent. We've trusted in our freedoms. We've trusted in sometimes the government. We're not going to be able to trust anymore. You're going to have to understand that your peace has got to come from something much greater. And the Lord is saying, if you can't keep up with the footmen, how are you going to contend with the horses? If you've grown weary in this land that you've trusted in, how are you going to handle it when the floodplains come in the Jordan, when the waters overtake you? What's going to happen then? Jesus is our peace. And I want to say this, Jesus didn't come to bring peace to the world. In fact, in the Word, he says, I didn't come to bring peace to the world. I came to bring a sword. Jesus didn't come to bring peace to the world. Jesus came to bring peace. He didn't come to bring peace to the world. Jesus came to bring the world peace, his people. He didn't come to change the government. He came to bring you peace in the midst of the issues of life. He came to bring a sword. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's something he gives his people, his peace. In Psalms 29:11, it says that the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He wants to bless you with peace. And I think sometimes we have these certain Christian cliches and these things that we say without really studying them, without really understanding what they mean. We've just learned how to say certain things. And I think that this is one of those things that we have just picked up without really understanding what is peace. When we call him the Prince of Peace, what does that mean? What does that mean to you? What does it mean to you? Let's look at Romans 5:1. The Lord began teaching me about this through this particular passage. It says in Romans 5:1, and I want you to sort of mark that because we're going to flip back to it in a minute, but Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Scripture says we can have peace with God because we were justified by faith. Christ is called the Prince of Peace. His message is called the Gospel of Peace. You can have peace. This peace we also find written about in Romans 8, 6, and 7. So stay in Romans 5, but then I want you to go to Romans 8, 6, and 7. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. It says here that not only can you not have the peace of God because you're separated with God or from him, but once that is broken, once you are joined with him, you can have his peace. That means if you don't, something's wrong. Because the carnal-minded cannot understand the things of God. You need to become spiritually minded in all circumstances. So go back to Romans 5 and pick it up in verse 3. The scripture says not only that, not only can you be justified by faith and have peace with God, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Paul is saying, not only can the spiritually minded have peace, but we can also glory in tribulation. So often we ask God for hope. Give me peace. I need something to hang on to. I need hope in my life. Remove this tribulation. Take this scenario. Bring peace into it. I need some hope here. I need to know that you're in the middle of it. And I'll know that if you remove it. And God says, here's the formula. Rejoice in tribulation. The tribulation will produce perseverance. The perseverance will produce character. And the character will produce hope. No shortcut. Some of us have been through deep tribulations. Some by our own choosing, some by the hand of the Lord. I thank God for those times. Because I would never understand His glory. I would never understand His purposes. I'd never understand His mercy. I'd never understand His joy. I would never understand His healing power if it were not for those times. And neither would you. There's no shortcut. You see, oftentimes the peace that we're seeking is carnal. Sometimes I looked at that and I thought, well, I'm not really wanting to go out and sin. I'm not wanting to be carnally minded in that way to get peace. But I was looking for a carnal answer. I was looking for the circumstances to change so that I could have peace. I need my circumstances to be stable, and that then will give me peace. If the relationship will get resolved, then I'll have peace. If I can just get a job that makes a dollar more an hour, then I'll have peace. If my wife would just begin to hold her tongue, then I'd have peace. If I could just find a pill to take to cure my illness, then I'd have peace. It's a carnal response. It's a temporary fix. Because you have to ask you where the source of your peace comes from. There has to be a recognized destruction of the world's peace in your life for you to receive the gospel of peace. You see, I got born again when I was 15, but I spent about 7 years undiscipled, not in a church. And I made some decisions on my own. And I remember looking for what I thought peace was. And bringing situations and scenarios into my life that I thought would bring peace. And I remember getting to the end of that 6 and 7 years and thinking, I long for the peace of God. I long for the peace of God because nothing else brought peace to me. And I had money and I had a home and I lived sort of the American, and I had no peace. None. And I longed to get back to that place that I had tasted in the first days of my salvation. Peace of God. What is the source of your peace? You've got to annihilate everything that the world offers as peace. If you will ever receive the true gospel of peace. The world is ignorant of this kind of peace. In 1 Thessalonians 5:3, it says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. They don't understand the kind of peace that we're talking about. When Osama bin Laden got killed, I had the news on and I saw people in front of the White House shouting and holding up signs of peace, that there would now be peace in our land. I saw people in New York Times Square rejoicing because now there would be peace in our nation and in the world. I thought, you don't understand peace. And the scripture came to me. There'll be people shouting peace and safety, and suddenly destruction will come. It's a false peace. It's a carnal peace. It's a peace that the world gives. It's got to be destroyed in our hearts and in our minds and in our thinking. They're two very different things. There cannot be any real peace unless it comes from the Prince of Peace. True peace strengthens the soul when it has no other comfort to mix with it. So you can talk about the peace of God all day long, but if you're mixing it, it will not strengthen your soul. That place in you when everything is being touched, when everything is feeling destroyed and falling apart. The peace of God that you proclaim to have will not strengthen you if it's mixed with anything else. It just waters it down. It just becomes something that's coming out of your mouth, but it's not transforming you from the inside. That's the peace of God. That's what He wants you to have. That's what He promises you. In Psalms 119, 165, it says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." Nothing. You'll give great peace to those who love your law. I hear things from people sometimes like, "I just need to get away. I need some peace and quiet." I've been on vacations and said the same thing. "I just need to get away, turn my cell phone off. I just need some peace." And I go on that vacation and spend a bunch of money, and I don't got any peace when I get back. Because it's not the environment that brings you peace. You can be on a desert island all by yourself, nobody to irritate you, and come back and you don't have any more peace than when you left. Jesus brings you peace. Great peace will be given to those who love His law. That's the kind of peace I want. Great peace. Great peace. That kind of peace can't be bought or found anywhere in this world. Doesn't matter where you go. I've traveled all over the world. Joe and Charlotte have traveled all over the world, and they will tell you that didn't ever bring them peace. They might find rest. There's times when I have found rest. Jesus needed to do that. But peace, it's very different. God says there will be tribulations. You will have to fight. You will have disappointments. But you will not be without comfort if you have found the true gospel of peace. Seems almost impossible to imagine. And I'd never really seen it connected to warfare before. I've been working in this area of ministry and freedom and deliverance and all those things for a long time, and I just never really saw it before. But I want to show you this. I'm going to read some verses that are familiar. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That means there must be some wiles we're going to have to fight against, right? It's going to happen. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Do you believe that? "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Is your wife flesh and blood? Is your husband flesh and blood? Is your boss flesh and blood? Is the government flesh and blood? "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Scripture says, take up the whole armor, not just some of it. Doesn't just say take up some pieces, but take it all up, the whole armor. Then it goes on to talk about the pieces of the armor. Now, I'd memorized the pieces of the armor. I put them on. So it says, stand therefore in verse 14, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, above all, taking the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Is that what it says? No, it does not. That's what I thought it said. That's what how I quoted it. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Those two little words of peace jumped out at me that day that I was repenting before the Lord. He said, you've lost your peace. You've lost your peace, and you're going to lose the gospel message of peace. The devil does not want you to walk in peace. He doesn't want you to walk at all, but he certainly does not want you to walk in the gospel of peace. To have peace in God is not an absence of conflict. It's quite contrary to that. For instance, when you're making an important decision in your life, let's say you have a very important decision to make, maybe where you're going to move or where you're going to go to school or if you're going to go to school or if you're going to buy something or whatever that decision is. The world tells you, get out a piece of paper, list all the pros and all the cons. And based on that list, make your decision according to which side of the list is longer. That'll tell you what you should do. But God doesn't operate in your lists of pros and cons. He doesn't need your list of all the right things and all the wrong things, all the things you think are truth and all the other things that will be bad for you. God operates and speaks to you by peace. He's going to lead you by peace, not by circumstance. If he is the Prince of Peace and he dwells in you, then when you're going to make a decision about something and you're praying and you just do not have peace, it's because he's not in that thing that you're going to do. If he dwells within you, he'll give you peace whatever you lay your hand on. And if you start itemizing and making your lists and trying to figure out what's good and what's bad, you're going to lean on your own understanding. And you're going to lose your peace just like that. It's not how he operates. It's not based on circumstances, but by his Spirit. Even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it doesn't make sense. If God looked at the circumstances of his life before he was crucified, wouldn't it look too good? if Abraham had looked at the circumstances of sacrificing Isaac, wouldn't have looked too good. God told him in Genesis 22:2, take your son, your only son, Isaac, the one you love. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. There's going to be things coming into our lives that God will direct you to do that will not make sense. But he'll guide you by peace. You can have a perfect situation. You can have the most perfect scenario. You can have a 4-year paid scholarship to the college of your choice. You can have a woman waiting for you that you think hung the moon, perfect in all her ways. But if you don't have the peace of God, it is not his will for you. And you can just stop looking for him to change his mind. It's the peace of God. You got to have it. You have to walk in it. Tom and I made a decision in our marriage when we first got married. We agreed the Spirit of God dwells in him, and the Spirit of God dwells in me. So in every decision we've made for our family, if one of us doesn't have peace, we don't go forward. It's just the way it is. There have been times when we have thought, oh, absolutely, this should be right. We were driving one time to go buy a car years ago. We had the cash. We knew what we were going to get. It was a good deal. We were driving to some other side of God's beautiful country of Texas. I don't know where it was. And every mile we were driving to it, I'm looking at him and he's looking at me and we're saying, we don't have peace. We don't have peace. We don't have peace. I don't know why. It didn't make sense. There wasn't anything that seemed to be out of the ordinary, but we had no peace. We stopped at this little gas station. We sat there. We prayed. Tom said, if I don't have peace, we're not doing it. And I said, and I agree. I don't have peace either. We turned around and every mile we drove home, we had more peace. I don't know why, but if the Spirit of God dwells within you, you don't need to know why. You just need to obey. I don't understand it, but I don't need to understand it. I'm not God, and I am not my own. You pray for the peace of God, it's going to come in ways, and he's going to test you in ways. Do you really trust me? Are you really going to do what I ask you to do? Because it's going to go against everything that you can logically figure out. He guides you by peace. Brother talked this morning. He promises in Philippians 4:7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses your understanding. It'll be a settledness within you, in your soul. I have peace. We're engaged in a great battle. A great battle. And I have a news bulletin for you. It's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. There is not going to be peace on the earth. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. The economy is going to get worse. There's going to be tribulations that will come. But you can have peace. You can stand in the midst of every circumstance. And though it will rip your heart right out of your body, you can have peace. To be out of control, I would have left everything to be in control, up with my daughter in Minnesota to walk her through this. I'd do anything. But I didn't have peace. God said, it's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to stay and to pray. Isn't that warfare? When everything in you has the ability to do something and God says, don't do it. Is that not warfare? Is that not where you get in the battle? I can fix that. I can change that. I can go. Maybe you can't. Maybe you can't. But isn't that where the battle is? That you be subjected to the will of God? Directed by His peace? Are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? You can't negotiate true peace. You can't buy true peace. You can't manufacture true peace. You can't fabricate true peace. You can't pick it up. You can't go get it. You can't just talk about it. All you can do is receive it. That's all you can do, is to receive it from the Prince of Peace. That's all you can do. He doesn't withhold it. We've established it in His Word that He blesses His people with peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Isn't that what it really comes down to? Trusting him? When your circumstances are screaming a different message? When you don't see any way that a situation can be fixed? He promises to give you perfect peace. And He will withhold no good thing from you. His peace that surpasses all understanding. And when I was praying this morning, this is what the Lord said to me. Some of you are barefoot. Some of you are barefoot. And you got your sword. You might have your helmet. You might even pick up your shield every once in a while. But you're barefoot. And if you think about that for just a minute, of a soldier that's gone into battle and he ain't got no shoes on, he's not going to get too far. You see, to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It is written that the soldiers had these shoes that they would wear, and they had thick soles on them, and on the bottom of those soles were spikes. And the tops were covered with leather, and their feet were protected to go into battle. And some of you are barefoot. See, a foot that is shod doesn't matter what they step on. Doesn't matter if there's nails and rocks and mud and in there. It doesn't matter. How are you going to crush the head of your enemy under your feet without any preparation of your soul? You've got to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I'd lost it. I was getting tired. And I saw it come out in my attitude toward poor people didn't know who I was. I was just grumpy and snappy and edgy. I didn't have time for this. I was fighting demons. And I'd lost my peace. God said, you will not be effective in battle. We're warriors. And our feet need to be prepared. I'm going to have Mariah sing a song this morning. I was telling Joe that the groanings of this earth are not only coming from the bowels of the earth, but the songs of the saints from century ago are coming back. It's like the words of those of long ago are coming back. And when Mariah asked if she could sing this song, it's one of those old, familiar hymns that just resonate in my spirit about the peace of God. And you might need to destroy the world's peace in your life right now. I don't know what that is for you. But the circumstances of your life may never change. But He can be in the midst of it. He can bring you the peace that surpasses your understanding. I needed that again. I needed my feet shod that I could get back on the field. And so as she sings this morning, if you feel like you need your feet prepared again with the peace of God, the gospel of peace, the altar is open. Your chair is open. I pray your heart will be open. In Jesus' name. cross of grief or pain. Lead to your God, to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Show me.